Welcome into the Patriots Preview Podcast. Time to take a look ahead at the Patriots Week 2 meeting against the New York Jets. I am Alex Barth from 98.5, joined by Evan Lazar. He covers the Patriots for CLNS Media. Evan, let's get right into it because there's a lot I want to touch on. But of course, we've got to start with Mac Jones, and you have been highly complimentary of Jones' Week 1 performance. Not that there's not a lot to compliment, but you seem to be just about as high as anybody. But I think undoubtedly there's still more you look for. It's not like he hit his peak. You hope he didn't hit his career peak in his first career start. What's the next step you're looking for Mac Jones? What does he need to, what do you want him to show now that he didn't show in Week 1 that you can look at and say, all right, here we go. Here's that progression.
Attacking down the field, honestly. And maybe this is a little bit about the play calling too. So there's those two things go hand in hand, but there were certainly some opportunities in that game against Miami, two in particular, both opportunities to their tight ends, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, where it felt like Mac might have left a bigger play on the field and wasn't as aggressive as you would normally expect him to be. In particular, a corner route off play action to Jonnu Smith in the second half. He checked it down, came off the first read, which would have been Smith just based off the concept, and checked it down instead of throwing the ball to Johnny and kind of waiting out that route a little bit longer to see if it would develop. You understand it. Miami's coming after him, 21 blitzes in the game. So the quick trigger was probably by design to a degree, but you'd like to hope that he takes his opportunities a little bit more in the future to just hold the ball and let those routes develop down the field before checking it down.
What goes into that? Because we saw Mac throw the ball down the field pretty willingly at Alabama, and obviously it's a different circumstance, right? But is that, you know, do you think that was just Week 1 nerves? Do you think that was something from the coaching staff? Do you think he just trusted the underneath receivers more? Why do you think he didn't throw the ball down the field as much when he had the opportunity? Like you said, with the play calling, there weren't a ton of opportunities, which is a valid point, and I do want to get into that. But when the opportunities were there, why do you think he didn't take them?
Well, most of the opportunities that I saw that he passed up, the reason why was probably because a blitz was on by Miami and he was trying to get the ball out of there. He did make some throws down the field, the James White wheel route, the Nelson Aguilar, a couple of throws to him down the field. So it wasn't that he didn't have any of them, but when your longest completion through the air is a 28-yard pass to your running back, that needs to improve for the Patriots moving forward. And I think a big reason why they only scored 16 points in this game against Miami was because of the lack of explosive plays on the offensive side of the football. You're just not going to get in the end zone frequently enough if you're not pushing the ball down the field a little bit more. So I would say a lot of it was probably what was being game planned or coached into him of they're going to come after you. This rush is really good. Let's not sit in the pocket for 3 seconds and wait for longer plays to develop.
And part of the reason Miami can blitz like they do, they have those two. I mean, overall a great secondary, but particularly the outside corners, not quite that level of talent on the Jets. And we'll get into the Jets roster as a whole in a little bit. I do want to talk about that, but just, you know, when we're looking at it in this specific context, do you think the Jets blitz Mac Jones as much as the Dolphins did last week?
That's not the Seattle, San Francisco way of doing things, right? And the system that they run with Robert Saleh is very similar to that Seattle, what Bill Belichick calls the Seattle 3 defense, right?
Right.
Cover 3 defense.
Where Saleh came from.
And Saleh comes from San Francisco, which has ties to Seattle and the whole thing. So that's not the typical MO of that scheme. That scheme is a cover 7 scheme, meaning they drop 7 guys into coverage and rush 4, and they try to get home with their front 4. They'll stunt or pick up front and do some things with those 4 guys. But for the most part, this is not a blitz happy team. They're also a very zone heavy team. So 66% of their snaps in Week 1 against Carolina were zone defense. And Josh McDaniels typically is very good at dialing up the zone beaters and knowing how to beat those types of systems, because zone defenses, they have rules, right? And you know how to manipulate those rules as a good offensive coordinator and play caller. So I don't think they're going to tee off on Mac as much as Miami did. And I think that this will be a matchup where the Patriots can push the ball.
And you mentioned there'll be more zone. Last week, a lot of man against Miami. Which of these pass catchers, doesn't have to be wide receiver, which of these pass catchers do you think has the best chance to break out given the different style of coverage they're facing?
I definitely think it's Nelson Agholor. When you look at the weak points of these zone coverages that New York is going to run, that Seattle's run in the past, San Francisco, getting speed receivers into the slot and getting those guys up the field on vertical routes, whether it's a deep over or something like that, that has been really successful, because you have those inside linebackers that are often tasked with matching those vertical routes inside. And if you can get a guy like Agholor matched up on some of those linebackers of the Jets in foot races, that should lead to some big plays down the field. If not, then you'll have the stuff underneath the defense open. So I think that really the guy that should be the biggest threat to this Jets team right now is moving. And they did this a little bit in week one with Agholor, where they moved him into the slot and got him up the field from inside. So getting him into the number two or number three spot, running vertical routes down the field, that should be a big part of this game plan.
You mentioned in the slot, and we'll jump over to the Jets side of the ball real quick before we come back. Last week, the Patriots had a ton of trouble with a rookie quick slot receiver in Jalen Waddle. Elijah Moore is not quite Jalen Waddle,
yeah,
but it's that, you know, the same idea. Guy, you don't have same a ton of film on, you don't know a ton of tendencies of, similar play style. What do the Patriots need to do against Elijah Moore that they didn't do last week against Jalen Waddle?
Elijah Moore is discount Jalen Waddle, right? Jalen Waddle goes in the
store
top
brand, 10 right.
in the draft, and Elijah Moore goes 34th overall to the Jets, and that was a conversation among draft Knicks was, you could have Jalen Waddle in the top 10, or you could have Elijah Moore at 34. Which one's the better value? Now, Moore had a great training camp in summer with the New York Jets, according to all the reports. But in week one, dropped a few passes, left a few opportunities out on the field. To me, the biggest thing is that the Dolphins were able to get Jalen Waddle on J.C. Jackson, which I think is a foot race mismatch, right? J.C.'s not a burner corner. He's not the type of guy that you necessarily want on those shifty, fast receivers. So making sure that they get those matchups with Jonathan Jones on Elijah Moore, I think is going to be really critical in this game, because he did get Jonathan Jones once, Waddle, on that seam fade from the slot. But most of the catch and run plays were on other guys, right? They weren't right. necessarily on John Jones. So getting Jones on Elijah Moore, I think, is going to be key. And based off of last week, Miami was able to scheme out of that by running a lot of 12 personnel and putting two wide receivers on the field and then just running Jalen Waddle over to J.C. Jackson's side of the field. The Patriots, I think, this week will do a lot more shadowing with the receivers, right? I think J.C. Jackson is going to travel with Corey Davis, and John Jones will travel with Elijah Moore, and that hopefully will take it away some of those mismatches.
You mentioned Corey Davis. He's a guy that's killed the Patriots in the past, back when he was with Tennessee. Do you think, Stephon Gilmore's been out there, who he matched up with against in that game, down in Tennessee a few years ago? He's obviously in a different offense. Does he still have the same potential to be a game breaker? He kind of won Tennessee that game. I think that was 2018.
Yeah, the playoff game, Gilmore got him back, to be fair.
You're right.
Yeah, he shut him down in the 2019 playoffs. But I think the biggest thing that you see with Corey Davis, and really with all of these receivers, is that Zach Wilson is good at extending plays in the pocket, right? He's an athletic guy back there, and he's good at moving around. So what we saw in week one against Carolina is Wilson on the move, rolling out to his right, slinging it down the field to guys like Corey Davis, and Davis eventually broke through and caught a touchdown late in that game to get the game closer. So if you're the Patriots and the defensive backs in general, with a guy like Corey Davis against J.C., I'm not necessarily worried about one-on-one matchup, JC getting burned by Corey Davis, right? What I'm more worried about, and just from the entire secondary standpoint, is if you let Zach Wilson get out of the pocket, then you have to cover for 4 or 5 seconds down the field. And that's going to be something that these DBs are going to have to be ready for.
So Zach Wilson, Bill Belichick has beat up on rookie quarterbacks in the past, especially those that maybe don't have that mental acumen. And Zach Wilson's not exactly the guy who's going to drop back and read the field and progress through his reads. He does have that ability to break the pocket, which we've seen this team struggle against. You think back to the Houston game last year. Not that Zach Wilson is Deshaun Watson, but like, they had trouble with that. It's a new defensive front, different quarterback. I mean, which do you put more weight on here? That Zach Wilson can move around and throw the Patriots off that way, or that it's Bill Belichick versus a rookie quarterback, and he's just going to put Zach Wilson's brain in a blender?
Well, I definitely think that Belichick will have the upper hand in this matchup against Zach Wilson, but I'm sure what Belichick is stressing both to his coaching staff and to the players themselves, but the staff importantly too, with the calls, is you can't allow Zach Wilson to escape to his arm side, right? If he's going to get out of the pocket, it's got to be to his left and make him throw across his body. If you let him go out to the right on his arm side, then he's going to be able to make those throws down the field effortlessly and just a flick of the wrist and get the ball 50 yards down the field. So when you face these mobile quarterbacks, making sure that they escape to the left or whichever one's their non-dominating hand, that's a critical aspect. So watch the way that the Patriots rush Zach Wilson on Sunday. My guess is the rush plan will be to close off that right side and really contain on the right side and bring pressure on his left side, right? Versus just the opposite. So I think that containing him to the opposite side or making sure he can stay in the pocket is item number one on the list. The second thing that you saw what Carolina was able to do was give Zach Wilson a pre-snap read that he thinks is going to give him the answer to the coverage and then actually take that pre-snap read away once the ball is snapped and give him another potential open receiver. But Wilson had a difficult time getting off that first read and onto the new read. So there were a couple of instances where Carolina would show a blitz, right? They show zero blitz with seven guys up or eight guys up on the line of scrimmage and then drop off out of it. And Wilson thought he was throwing hot, but then the hot wasn't there because those droppers were coming on underneath the zones and getting underneath those routes, and he would have to hold the ball in the pocket and take a sack. Or there's another couple instances where they showed him pre-snap one-on-one matchups in certain situations where he could attack down the field, which is what he wants to do. The ball is snapped. They take away that one-on-one matchup, and he misses the underneath throws, right? He misses the layup. So playing into his aggressiveness, I think, could be something that could bode well for the Patriots, because this is a guy in week one averaged 10.6 air yards per attempt. He wants to push the football down the field. So giving him those looks and kind of baiting him into those deep throws and then making sure that you only give him some of the underneath stuff that maybe he's not ready to progress to that yet, I think is one way that they're going to try to trick Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I almost wonder if we see the amoeba defense return this week. Maybe not a ton, but, you know, or just those defenses where they only have one down lineman and they're rotating in the secondary and things like that. Because like you said, you know, he's trying to push the ball down the field and he only completed 54% of his passes last week.
Yeah.
Just for a reference point, that's 20% less than Mac Jones. Yeah. I mean, a significant amount. It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't seem like he can do what he wants to do consistently. And a lot of consistency is mental. It's just getting in that rhythm. So the more you can do to mentally make him feel uncomfortable, you're going to hurt him. So I, you know, and Dietrich Wise talked about it on Thursday. I think it was on Thursday about, you know, if you kind of keep chipping away and chipping away and chipping away, you can eventually lead to a meltdown. And I think that has to be the Patriots' game plan, not try to go for it all at once and light him up on the first play. Because if you're too aggressive getting after him, he's going to break the pocket, run around.
Right.
If you're just, you know, knocking him here, confusing call there, you know, this and that, it's going to build up, I think, and really frustrate him. So yeah. I think that sort of has to be the plan.
Yeah, and Carolina basically gave them that blueprint in week one of how to do it. And also against the Panthers, I think a lot of people know Mekhi Becton in this game are talking down this New York Jets offensive line. And it wasn't good by the offensive line last week. You give up six sacks. It's not going to be a great day on the tape for the offensive line. But a lot of the problems that they had were unblocked or free runners at the quarterback, which usually is – a protection issue,
right?
It's a mental issue more than it was physical. So Carolina had way too many free runners at Zach Wilson. And to his credit, he got out of some of those with his legs, but whether it's his center or it's Wilson, or it's a combination of the two of those guys, setting the protection against Carolina was a big issue. And that's speaks to the mental side of it as well as Zach Wilson. So whether it's confusing him with different pressure looks or different fronts or whatever the case may be, they need to look at that Carolina tape and say, how can we do the same, right? How can we replicate this? Because a lot of those mental things were a big problem for him last week.
And I would say too, I mean, I correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Patriots have a much better defense than the Panthers do. And I think
the Panthers have a good front. You know, Brian Burns and some of those guys up front with Carolina can really get after the quarterback. But on the whole, I would probably say, yeah, at all three levels.
And the Patriots, you know, some of the Panthers' best players, you mentioned Brian Burns, Jeremy Chinn, who I really like, J.C. Horn, these are younger players. I think this is a game where the Patriots defensively, you lean on guys like Dont'a Hightower, guys like Devin McCourty, guys who have been here and can maybe get, how do I want to phrase this, get a little more creative with what they want to do pre-snap, right? Because Devin McCourty, he's been in this league long enough. He basically knows, all right, I'm responsible for this part of the field, but if I line up here pre-snap, it's going to look different. And I know I have the ability to get back to where I need to be after the ball is snapped. Like that, you know, those kind of veteran plays where you know truly how much, how thin you can stretch yourself and still be able to make the play while lining up all over the place. Hightower is another example of that. Again, I think that this is the week to kind of take advantage of having those kind of guys on the roster. We've kind of danced around some names here with the Jets. As a whole, though, I'm curious what you think of this. How many good, like who worries you on the Jets? How many good players do the Jets have? Because the way I look at it, let's define a good player in this context as a guy who's in the top half of the league at his position, his top 16 at his position. I see one in Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle, who I like. And they're going to have to deal with him, David Andrews, Shaq Mason, Mike Onwenu. If he's pushing the pocket up the middle, it's going to make life tough on Mac Jones.
Yeah.
But if they take him away, especially with Becton out, I don't think Becton's a top 16 tackle. He's borderline. If he's top 16, he's 16.
Yeah. But,
you know, who on the Jets really stands out to you is, okay, this guy could be a problem for the Patriots.
Honestly, the quarterback is really the only one. And I say that in the sense that if you let Zach Wilson play his game, right, if you let him get outside the pocket and run around on you and throw the deep ball down the field and you allow him to play that style of quarterback and you don't force him to sit in the pocket and go through his progressions and make good decisions with the football, he can be an explosive player, right? He's got, as Bill Belichick called it, a live arm, right? This guy can make the throws all over the field. And I think that that's the point of Zach Wilson as a rookie in his second career start being the X factor for the Jets. I think some Jets fans would look at that and say, oh, that's great. That means we hit on the quarterback, right? But to me, you look at that situation and then you compare it to what Mac Jones is dealing with here in New England, where he's got veteran leadership around him. He's got veteran playmakers and offensive linemen around him. He's got a good defense. Zach Wilson is getting dropped into the typical number two overall pick quarterback situation. A new head coach, a new regime. He's already one of their two or three best players on their roster, and there's a lot of holes in other spots. He's in a total rebuild. Mac Jones is in a situation where they can drop the quarterback in and potentially hit the ground running. Zach Wilson definitely feels like the type of guy that's going to have to play the long game with the New York Jets. And this could be a few years down the line before we actually learn, is Zach Wilson the real deal or not?
I think we said the same thing about Sam Darnold, and that obviously turned out how it turned out. Real quick here, before we wrap it up, I'm trying to end all the preview podcasts like this. Finish the sentence. The Patriots win this game because
Bill Belichick gets in Zach Wilson's head. I think ultimately they will confuse Zach Wilson enough and prevent them from scoring. But I could also say that Josh McDaniels knows this system like the back of his hand, that he's
talking about the Jets defensive system.
Yeah. Okay. It was solid system. You play that system in Seattle for over the years, in San Francisco over the years. This is not a new scheme, and it's a simple scheme. It's a scheme that really is predicated on execution, not necessarily confusion and multiplicity. So Josh McDaniels knows what to do and what to dial up. It's going to come down to the Patriots' offensive players executing better than the Jets' defensive players.
And like you said, it's a talent-based system, and they don't exactly have Richard Sherman over there on the other side. So he is Evan Lazar. For more of his Patriots coverage, at EZ Lazar on Twitter. Covers the team for CLNS Media. Evan, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem, Alex.